this morning. So let me pray and ask for God's help. Dear Lord, I thank you for being a God who speaks. Thank you for speaking to us through the Bible. And we pray now, as we think about what you've had to say, that you will continue to shape us into people who live boldly for you. We need your help in that. And so please, we ask, be gracious to us. Amen. Up in a place called Nowra. It's about 2.5 hours south of Sydney. And in primary school, I went to a school called Illawarra Road Public School. And it was a great school. Like, I have no memories of there ever kind of being anything bad kind of happening at primary school. And one of the big things for me in primary school was that my dad was the kind of scripture teacher, we call it RI up here, but he was a scripture teacher with a few of his friends, and he taught scripture in that primary school for years and years and years. So it was really clear to all my friends that I was the kind of the Christian kid. But primary school was really great. Went to high school in 1997, and the Gideons came. This is, I found this during the week. It says, presented to Joshua Timothy Dodd, March 1997. I could read my handwriting back when I was in high school. And I kept this. But it's a great reminder to me that things definitely changed when I got to high school. You see, we came out from the session with the Gideons, and I still have incredibly vivid memories of, I don't know how many high school kids piling their Gideon's Bibles into bins and lighting them up. And I think for me, as I kind of felt the heat kind of coming off the fire of those Bibles burning, it was the first time that I can kind of remember thinking, actually, being a Christian might not be popular with anyone, with everyone. I just had never had that feeling in primary school, but I remember very early in high school thinking, this following Jesus thing in high school might be a tough gig. Do you have a memory of the first time that kind of dawned on you, of when you realized, oh, standing up for Jesus might actually be tough? Maybe you've experienced kind of some heat yourself firsthand from your family, from your friends, from work colleagues, from mates at school. Or maybe you've just kind of seen other people talk about Jesus and they've copped kind of so much heat that you just know it is definitely there. It's tricky, isn't it? There's often heat when it comes to talking about Jesus. And a question that I feel like I've asked myself for years and years is it actually possible to be bold for Jesus when the heat kind of comes? And I think the reason I ask myself that question is because I could give you lists and lists of times when I have failed completely to be bold. I've been completely timid and wussed out of being bold for Jesus. A number of years ago, I got invited to speak on a youth camp down in Lennox Head. And when you get asked to kind of go and speak at a camp, very rarely they're so desperate to kind of have you to come that they don't tell you what they want. They just say, you can kind of pick anything, which sometimes is actually really hard. And that's what they said to me, hey, you can speak on anything. And at that time, I was like, I just don't have a kit. I just haven't been preaching for long enough to kind of have a backpack full of sermons that I can kind of pull out. And so I'd been reading through Acts kind of just in my own time. And there was a bit that Beth read to us that just really jumped out at me. And I thought, hey, this is what I should be thinking about as we go to that camp. Can I read it to you again? Because it's a moment in Acts where Peter and John are, to me, just insanely bold. It's just incredible. It was that first verse that Beth read. If you've got your Bibles there, verse 13, it says, when they saw the courage, I was reading kind of the ESV, and it uses the word boldness. When they saw the courage, the boldness of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished. And they took note that these men had been with Jesus, right? Here are just everyday, regular kind of guys, and yet, like, just this kind of mind-blowing courage and boldness for Jesus. Like, I was absolutely amazed, like myself, as I kind of read this story, and I'm thinking, how do they do that? How do they get that level of boldness? I would love that kind of level of boldness. Here's the context to what's happened. Just like at the start of chapter 3, Peter and John are kind of walking through some area in the city, and there's a guy there who's begging, and he's lame, he can't walk, and he's kind of asking for cash. And Peter and John say, hey, actually, we haven't got anything. Like, we haven't got any money on us, but what we do have is Jesus, and in his name, hey, why don't you get up and walk? And this guy gets up and walks. Just incredible. He's been lame for years, and he just gets up and walks. And naturally, if that happens, right, a kind of crowd gathers. They're fascinated by what's just happened. And Peter and John take this opportunity to just start telling the entire crowd about Jesus. Doesn't go so well, though, because the kind of religious leaders get very upset at them and actually just throw them in jail overnight. The next morning, they get them out of jail and they say, hey, look, you just need to stop talking about Jesus. This is not okay. And here's what Peter and John say. They say, hey, that's not going to happen. We are going to promise to keep talking about Jesus. Verse 20, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. To me, it's just mind-blowing boldness. They've been in jail. They know people are hating them doing this. And yet they get up the next morning, they get out and they say, hey, don't speak. And they say, no, we're just going to keep doing it. They've just been in jail. And yet the boldness to say, like, they don't even lie. Like, if I had kind of half boldness, I would have lied and said, yep, sure, I'll keep my mouth shut. And then kind of gone and done it anyway. But this is just upfront boldness. They say, no, we just cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. How can they be that kind of bold for Jesus? There's heat on them. How can they be that bold? And is it possible for me and for you to be that bold as well? So that's what we want to think about this morning. And we're just going to kind of, there's 3 points that I want us to think through. Good news, fake news, and prayer cues. Okay, good news, fake news, and prayer cues. That's cues with a C-U-E-S, not a line. Good news, right? When Peter and John say, hey, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard, the thing that they've seen and heard is Jesus, his life, his teachings, everything that he's done, and really recently they've seen his death and his resurrection. That is what they've seen and heard, and they are totally convinced that because of that, Jesus is the only person who saves people. And that's really why Peter says, hey, I'm just going to keep talking about Jesus. In verse 12, he says, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. Right? The thing that Peter and John have become completely convinced about is the gospel. The good news is that only Jesus saves. And these are men, like, they know they need saving. Like, they also, very recently, they've been men who've turned their back on Jesus. Like, Peter did it emphatically 3 times, turned his back completely on Jesus. And if you've gone through the first part of Acts, this is what they've been preaching. Actually, all of the people have turned their back on God. All people are sinful. And so they're saying, hey, Jesus is the only one who can turn you around. He's the one who's turned us around. He's the only one that can kind of turn you around and face you to God. Jesus is the only one who saves. My wife, Jacqueline, tells me I've told this story before, but I couldn't think of another example. And I've got a number of friends who are telling me it's good for me to talk about my feelings. So we're gonna go with it. When I first moved here, I joined the young adults home group here, and I started dating Jacqueline, and it was a wonderful time. And one night she kind of left young adults. I think she'd parked over in Coles, and her car wouldn't start. And she got her phone out to kind of call someone to help her out. Now, as her kind of, you know, the new man in her life, what I desperately wanted was for her to call me. She did not call me. I think she called Josh. He knows what he's doing, and I think she called another mate of mine, Trav. She called Josh and Trav to kind of help get her home. My name, like as she scrolled through her phone, right, my name was, it was just not on the kind of place to make a phone call to. Incredibly hurtful for me. But she knew, right? I wouldn't have been able to help. She knew who to call. Right? And Peter and John are going, hey, people need saving. But as you scroll through your phone, right, there aren't multiple people you can call. Like, there's one person you can call on, and that is Jesus. He's the only one who can turn you around to face God. I mean, they've experienced this. They'd had their backs turned. And they've been turned around. They've been forgiven by Jesus, and they've experienced the gift of his Spirit, and they are so convinced by this that Jesus saves and only Jesus saves that they want to be bold. Because they're saying it's not just true for them, it's true for all people. Only Jesus saves. And I think that's what really motivates their boldness, because what it says, only Jesus saving, it actually means our boldness it's necessary. People need to hear that Jesus saves. Paul talks like this in Romans. In chapter 10, he says, "For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news." Right? It's the consistent kind of message. It's not just Peter and John's message. Like, everyone kind of, as they understand the gospel, they get this fact. Only Jesus saves. But it's not the kind of time and place we live in. Like, we're really convinced there's heaps of ways and paths to kind of be right with God. But it's not the message that Peter and John hold out here. The good news is that only Jesus saves. And that helps us be bold, because it really makes our boldness necessary. We know we need to be bold with that news. Right? I think you'll have possibly started this, but this is what we're going to be doing in our small groups this year. We've been doing it in staff meeting. We've been doing it as elders. We've done it as an Edge leadership team. You're doing it in your kind of connect and grow and go groups, and you'll be doing it in your home groups. We want to be praying this year for people who have their backs turned to God. We want to pray that this year is a year that they're going to call out on Jesus' name to be saved. That's what we're aiming for. And in amongst, as we're praying for that to happen, I think we can be praying to be bold, that we will be men and women who kind of take that news of only Jesus saves to those people in our life. So the good news, I think, pushes us towards boldness. The other thing the good news does is it actually helps us recognize fake news. You see, when the heat kind of comes for standing up for Jesus, I reckon we're often tempted to think, hey, God's gone missing. He's just not around. I mean, he wants us to do this. How can he want us to do this if it's so hard? The thing is, like, that's actually just fake news, right? Because God has not gone missing. And we see this from the way Peter and John act after they get released, right? Pick up the story, verse 23. It says this, on their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all the chief priests and the elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. That last little bit is, if you were to flick back in your Bibles, you'd see that it's a quote from Psalm chapter 2, a psalm that's written ages kind of before Peter and John. But they're really confident that this isn't a psalm kind of talking about God and the king he chose a long time ago. I mean, if you were here at the Ministry Partners Day yesterday, this is the moment where you get to see, hey, Peter and John have been listening to that kind of Luke 24 lecture that Jesus gave. They are super confident that this part of the Old Testament is all about Jesus. And they show that because they say, hey, this psalm applies to what's happened here between God and Jesus. Look at verse 27. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against God's holy servant Jesus, whom God appointed. Right, when Jesus died, Peter, John, they're just completely gutted. It's like the worst thing that could have happened, Jesus dying. And yet, once the resurrection happens, everything's been turned around. They actually realize this is exactly what God wanted to happen. Look at verse 28. The kind of Herod and Pontius Pilate, they did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Right? God was completely behind Jesus going to the cross. He's completely behind the good news. Because it turns out Jesus dying was the way people were going to turn around and face God. God is behind the good news. He didn't go missing in that moment. He was always in control and his plans weren't messed up just because kind of people brought heat against him. A few years ago now, I don't know if this is a story about you or not, Harry. I'm not sure, but you can let me know later. We were playing NBA Jam at my place, great game from the 90s, and it was about half time. It may or may not have been Harry, I'm not sure, but someone was having an incredibly stellar half of basketball. Dunking, sinking threes, it was amazing, just an incredible half. Turned out at halftime that whoever it was had been looking at the wrong kind of person. They were actually watching the guy controlled by the computer. They hadn't really been in control of that player at all. And a very humbling moment. Sometimes what happens is we just get confused about who is in control. And it can be quite confusing, I think, when heat comes on us for standing up for Jesus, that we start to think, what is happening? Who actually is in control here? But it's fake news that when the heat turns up, it's because God's gone missing. It's not true. And the good news of Jesus points that out, right? Because even when things were looking really bad and Jesus went to the cross, God was completely in control. Nothing was out of his kind of hand. He was sitting calmly on his throne, reigning and ruling. And the good news reminds us that even when the heat comes, God is still at work. And it can be such a helpful picture for us to kind of have that Psalm 2 picture of God sitting on his throne, reigning and ruling as we go out to be bold. Because I think as the heat comes, we are tempted to think, where's he gone? Why is this happening? He hasn't gone anywhere. He knows what he's doing and he's working still. I actually think that's one of the reasons why we're trying to work so hard at tackling kind of sharing Jesus through our small groups. Because actually when the heat comes, it kind of can be really hard for us and disheartening. But the chance in our small groups, as we kind of are praying for our friends and taking Jesus to them together, we actually get to support each other in that moment of the heat coming and remind ourselves of the great truth that God is sitting on his throne and that he can work and does work through difficult times. It's so easy to buy into the fake news that God's gone and walked off. But he hasn't. And we need to remind ourselves of that in our small groups. So where are we? I think we're here. The good news helps us be bold because it helps us see that talking to others about Jesus is completely necessary. He's the only way to be saved. The good news helps us kind of filter out the fake news that plays in our heads, because we can see that actually God does work even in heat. And the final thing I think the good news helps us do is that it cues us to pray. It's really worth seeing what happens when Peter and John kind of get back to their crew and they start praying. So I'm going to read part of the prayer to you. And I want you to notice what's strange about the prayer that they pray. And I might actually ask for you to kind of share what you notice after. So I'm warning you that there's some participation coming. But I want you to notice here what might be strange about how they pray. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. What's strange, do you reckon, in that? Does anyone notice anything strange? Yes. Yes. Yeah, that is so right. They don't ask for the heat to be turned off. They don't ask for the heat to be turned down. They didn't say, hey, dear God, can you please stop these people from picking on us and threatening us? They don't pray like that. They pray, hey, God, just give us more boldness so we can keep going no matter how people react. I think that's incredible. That is an insane way to pray. I mean, I was talking with someone after early church, and they were saying, you think about what's happening in our schools now, and one of the things, things are changing in our schools, and instead of praying to just grow in our boldness, actually the thing that we're doing is we're trying to petition the government to just put a halt to things. I'm not saying we shouldn't be petitioning our government, but wouldn't it be incredible to be also praying to grow in boldness? You see, the result, though, of their prayer, the last verse that Beth read for us, verse 31, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Right, it's a prayer that God loves to answer. He wants people to come to know his son. And so he answers that prayer. And I think there's a really key thing for us to get there, is that our ability to grow in boldness is not going to kind of come from just hardening up and just trying to be tougher and just trying to be bolder. Actually, it's just not going to work like that. Our boldness has to come from God. He's gracious, His graciousness has kind of been the thing that's turned us round, and it's going to be his graciousness that sees us grow in boldness as well. And how is the Holy Spirit going to do that? I think he's going to do that by just growing a deeper conviction of the gospel. He's going to remind us that only Jesus saves, and that he's turned us around, and that through that same gospel, he'll turn other people around. And as we pray, the Holy Spirit's also going to keep kind of destroying that fake news kind of broadcast that God's left and isn't in control when the heat comes. He's going to be reminding us that God has been faithful, or even in times of great difficulty. And so as we head into this week, can I encourage you, and I'm encouraging myself as well, to be men and women who pray boldly, that we will be bold and stand up for Jesus, and that as we do that, I'm convinced his Holy Spirit's going to kind of just give us a greater love for the good news and remind us that he works even in spite of the heat. Let me pray. Lord, as we think about our week ahead, we want to consider whatever heat may face us, and we want to ask that you enable us, your servants, to speak the good news of Jesus with great boldness. Amen.